Welcome back and welcome to the Fired Up with CJ show. Today we are interviewing Dr. Marilyn Witch, who is a family therapist who's written the book Pills Are Not for Preschoolers. And in this segment, we're going to be talking about seven natural ways to address some of the problems that your kids may be facing at school or at home. So welcome back, Dr. Witch.
Thank you, CJ.
So can you share with us what are some things, you know, you in the first segment you were saying a lot of times problems that kids are experiencing at home or school are really about environmental conditions, and that oftentimes, I mean, there are very few things that children really even need medicines for. So what are some some natural ways to address some of the issues kids are having?
Well, I think one of the most important is to make sure that discipline for the child is consistent and that both parents are on the same page about discipline. You know, most couples, when they get married, don't discuss their views on disciplining a child, so they're certainly not worthy of blame when they find that one of them is stricter and the other one is more soft-hearted. So whatever it takes, and sometimes it takes a session or two of counseling, parents should come to agreement about discipline and about all matters concerning their child and back each other up. Mm-hmm. And secondly, discipline should be in a calm manner and not with parents yelling. So they need to sit down and discuss the rules and consequences and then state them calmly to a child. Mm-hmm. Another big one is to limit television and video game exposure. A research study in Pediatrics, the main medical journal for pediatricians, has shown that some television shows can adversely impact a child's executive functions, like attentiveness and memory. Yeah, it was in Pediatrics.
Well, what would the show, can you just give me an example of the kind of TV show that would be
impacted? Well, sure, I could tell you the study briefly.
Okay,
This was done with young children aged around five, and there were three groups. One group was allowed to watch SpongeBob SquarePants. Mm-hmm. The other, second group was allowed to watch a PBS show like Sesame Street, and mm-hmm. the third group was able to draw with crayons. Mm-hmm. At the end of 20 minutes, these three groups were tested for executive functions, and the group that watched SpongeBob did significantly worse than the two other groups. The groups that watched Sesame Street and the groups that drew with crayons did about the same. Mm. But it was found, and what the researchers, what the doctors concluded was it was the pace of the SpongeBob, that some shows are so quickly paced that it really fries the child's brain, almost literally. Mm.
Wow. Wow. Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay. Wow. Fascinating. So, I'm sorry. So what are some of the, I know you had four other ones.
So another thing is to get a child who is extra energy should get involved in a physical exercise like swimming, soccer, tennis. You know, you and I talked about the story of Michael Phelps, who was diagnosed at age 9 with ADHD and was given Ritalin. He took Ritalin for 3 years. And then he decided that he really didn't want to take medication, and he discovered swimming, that was an outlet for his extra energy. And he stopped the medication. He talked to his doctor agreed. And by swimming and by using his mind to control his behavior in the classroom, he was able to wean himself off the Ritalin. Now, CJ, if Michael Phelps had really had a biological disease, that wouldn't have helped. So that was a way of changing.
Right, because you mean if his biology were problematic, then he shouldn't have been able to just scale off the meds and be perfectly fine.
Exactly. And not just perfectly fine, but the greatest Olympian champion in all history. And you know, this is after his teacher, when he took himself off the drugs, his teacher told Michael Phelps' mother that her son would never succeed in anything. Because he couldn't focus.
I love that.
So physical exercise is a big one. Also, many parents find that their child's school, you know, the teacher might not be the best match, and there may be some problems that their child might do better in another classroom with a different teacher. I know some parents who have actually gone to the extent of homeschooling their child, and so their son, this parent's son who seemed ADHD in the classroom, when she took him out of school and homeschooled him, he was no longer ADHD.
Wow.
So not that all parents can do that, but
what's the mismatch that you typically see? Like someone who is more creative and the teacher is too structured? Like what are usually the mismatches between a child and the teacher and the way they're teaching?
Well, sometimes if a teacher does not have clear, explicit rules for the classroom, I'm mm-hmm. talking about maybe kindergarten, first grade.
Yep.
You know, sometimes boys need more clear and explicit limits than girls, because boys just naturally have a lot of extra energy.
Mm-hmm.
And so they need clear limits. And then sometimes, you know, a teacher is more likes kids who are more people pleasers and performance oriented rather than a kid who questions or who's more artistically creative.
Mm.
So, you know, I think a parent should look very carefully. There was an article in the New York Times recently, an op-ed by an author, Bronwyn Huska, and she gave her son Ritalin for a year in fourth grade, but then it stopped working in fifth grade. And she talked to the other parents and looked into the school situation, and her thoughts were that this teacher didn't know how to deal with boys. He was a great teacher for girls, but he didn't know how to deal with boys. So when she moved her child's classroom, the, quote, ADHD cleared up.
That is awful.
You know? Also,
awful.
I think it's important to rule out food allergies or food sensitivities.
Mm.
I haven't seen research on this, but many parents have told me that when they take away food dyes or sugar from their child's diet, they calm down and their behavior becomes more normal.
Mm.
Also, I think to look at the home environment. Does the child overhear the parents arguing? These mm-hmm. days, a lot of families are stressed out about finances and possibly job loss. And you'd be surprised that when children hear parents talking about these problems in raised voices, that they start worrying, and they can even start acting like they have ADHD.
Mm-hmm. Right, so, because they're disturbed by the information. They don't know what to do with it, so they have this kind of unconscious stuff that they're processing that they process out in school. I think that's what you is that right?
Exactly. No, you hit the nail on the head there. Exactly. And,
yeah.
and we're going to talk about some of the stories like that. That kids, when they're worried about their parents, they can't always express it. What they do is act it out. And the effect looks very different from the cause. So keeping your arguments and your disagreements away from the children is a really good strategy.
We have to go on break. So let's actually, when we come back, let's talk about some stories about how actually you would work with a family. And I also wanted to touch upon in the next segment some of the ideas that you had actually talked about in the first segment that drug companies may be, you know, they're incented to have us take these drugs and what their incentives are and kind of a look into that whole world. So we have Dr. Marilyn Wedge, who also writes for the Huffington Post and Psychology Today. And this article on 7 ways to address your kids, is it in the Huffington Post or Psychology
Huffington
Today?
Huffington Post.
You can find more about that article in Huffington Post. So next we're going to be talking about doctors overprescribing medications and some stories and what you can do in your family environment. And make sure to go over to stay connected with us as we switch over to a different local radio station by typing in Fired Up with CJ on iTunes and clicking subscribe. We'll be right back.